Good morning. We're glad to have you back for the Word for Life radio ministry. As we think of missions, one of the most exciting weeks of our entire year here at Brookside is our missions conference week. And a few months ago, we finished that conference with some fantastic insights from God's Word and some great ministers of the Word of God and great witnesses. Paul and Joan Seeger are in the studio with us this morning, and they both grew up on the mission field, and we're happy to have you guys with us this morning.
Thank you.
Good to be with you guys. Thanks so much for the conference. It was really great.
Oh, I tell you, it's such an encouragement to our folks, and I remember when I was 9 years old, the Lord spoke to my heart at a huge conference at Moody Memorial Church, and it was during one of those Founders Week ministries. Let's see now. That would have been 60 years ago. Eons and eons ago, you know. But what a blessing that message was. And many times we kind of walk away and wonder, was anything positive accomplished through that? And that pastor probably has no clue that I made a decision. 9-year-old boy. But since that time, my life has been different. And what a joy it is to be able to have missions conference in our church and every year for our young people, our teenagers. And Brother Paul, as you were mentioning on the kickoff night, on Wednesday night, not just young people and teenagers and children, but you were talking about leaders in the church needing to be open to God's call, and that's kind of how he started the missionary effort back in Acts.
Yeah, you know, in the past, it was only young people that went to the mission field because you had to walk long distances or live in very difficult circumstances.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You had to be physically fit. You're facing diseases that we didn't know about here in the States.
Right.
But anymore, it's not that case. And mm-hmm. So we can really go back to the model in Acts chapter 13 where it was experienced men, older men,
mm-hmm.
that went to the mission field. So now people in their 30s and 40s and 50s can go to the mission field. It's not just the teenagers or the 21-year-old that are going to be going to the mission field.
So what I hear you saying is mission boards, mission societies have had to change their attitudes about seeing applications from older people, and usually if they had teenagers in the home, it was an immediate no. You know, you can't go because you have teenagers.
It certainly is more difficult with teenagers because teenagers don't want to move across the street, much less around the world.
Right, right.
So it's not necessarily easy for teenagers, but it's very doable
mm-hmm.
if the family's attitude is right on it. Obviously, in the 30s, while your children are still somewhat younger,
right.
that's a real easy move because
right.
kids are happy wherever mom and dad are.
Right, exactly. My wife and I went to a 2-week mission training time. Honestly, thought God was going to be sending us to Australia. And two of our children were teenagers, younger teenagers. The other one was in the third grade, our youngest. And then when we just did not sense that that was the Lord's leadership, our third grader just got so frustrated. He just thought, no, this is not right. You know, I prepared my heart for this thing. And he did a huge project in his Christian school on the country of Australia. And interestingly enough, today he is a missionary in Brazil.
Oh, wow.
But that was the beginning of the Lord's working in his heart to be open to go.
That's one thing we do during our training period at Biblical Ministries Worldwide in the summer. We have 5 weeks of training, mm-hmm. not just for the parents, but also for the children,
yeah.
to teach them how to become kid missionaries,
right.
not just missionary kids.
Right.
How to give their testimony in churches and, you know, how to do object lessons and
mm-hmm.
present the country that they're actually going to be ministering in mm-hmm. to their Sunday school class as
right.
their parents travel
right.
around. So it gets them involved from the very beginning and makes them feel like they're part of the team.
Because if they're not part of the team, then it's only going to be involvement until they graduate from high school. And then probably back to the States,
right.
college, and that's it. But what a blessing it is when children either grow up on the mission field or go to the mission field, spend time on that field, come back, train, and then go back.
We're biased because we're both missionary kids, but we think missionary kids make great missionaries.
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
certainly have a leg up because they have already seen it. They've experienced it. They're not so attached to one place. They're
right.
willing to try another culture and
mm-hmm.
oftentimes know the language.
Right.
They've seen missionary work in action. So
right.
we love recruiting missionary kids.
They're very comfortable in situations where there are many unbelievers.
Yes,
because that's
yes.
how they've grown up. They've often been in adult Bible studies. They've
mm-hmm,
been around
mm-hmm.
adults because they've been involved in ministry with their parents. And so they need very little training.
Right. Now, tell me about the families from which you came. You mentioned that both of your families were on the field. Were both of you born on the mission field? Joan, how about you?
I was not born on the mission field. My dad and mom actually went to Bible college as adults.
Okay.
They were already married,
uh-huh.
and so I was a young child, and my dad wanted to go to Africa, always wanted to go to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I was 9 years old, I think, when my folks went to Africa. So we were in a very pioneering ministry in the country of Malawi,
mm-hmm.
which meant that my brother and I needed to go to boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very interesting situation. But we learned to love boarding school. We didn't have negative,
okay.
no
okay.
negative thoughts about boarding school. In fact, we looked forward to it because way back on the compound, there was nothing to do. And
yeah,
at boarding
yeah.
school, there was all kinds of activity.
And that's where
and
your
so,
friends were.
Sure,
yeah,
we
yeah.
loved it. But we did learn, especially in those first couple of years, to make the Lord very intricately important in our relationships
mm-hmm.
because he was our best friend. And
yeah,
we would go to bed
yeah.
at night and pray, and I can remember talking to my little brother about that, that the Lord is our best friend.
Yes,
we're
yes.
the foreigners around here, but we still have a best friend.
And how much younger was he?
He was 2.5 years younger than I
okay,
was.
Okay, okay. And how long then were you at that boarding school?
We were at that particular one for about 3 years, and then my folks moved. We moved to Zimbabwe,
mm-hmm.
and then we had to fly. We were quite far away from home, but there we stayed in a missionary hostel that was run by missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just a government hostel
okay.
for children.
Okay.
So the environment was different. There was a lot more Christian influence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We still went to public schools, but then we had the missionary environment when we came home in the evenings.
Gotcha. Okay. How about you, Brother Paul?
My parents were here on furlough when I was born.
Okay.
They had met each other on the field. They actually went single, and many missionaries
huh?
did that back then
yeah,
because
yeah.
they didn't want to risk marrying somebody that would not go to the mission field with them. So
which is very wise.
They found each other there, got married on the mission field.
Okay.
But I was born here, and at 4 months old, went back, or I went for the first time. They went back to Nigeria.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And so that's where I grew up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I, like Joan, did the missionary boarding school thing. And
okay.
Grew up
okay.
in boarding school. That was just the way they did things back then.
Right. Has that changed now with homeschooling or DVDs or things like that for education?
There are still these boarding schools around the world, but
okay.
oftentimes it's for expats or for people that live in the city. So there's not so many missionaries anymore sending their kids off to boarding school. There's homeschooling or
right.
if they're in a developed city, there's often some kind of a international school or
mm-hmm.
public schools that they can go to. So, it has changed.
You used the term expat. Explain that.
Expatriate. Sorry, that's sort of lingo, maybe insider lingo that we use. So
right.
Someone that's from a different country.
Okay, right.
I think sending the kids away from boarding school was a whole lot harder on the parents than it was on the kids.
Uh-huh.
Because my mom said she would travel back and just cry all the way back.
Sure.
Back to
yeah.
the mission station. And you know, it was only 150 miles away, but depending on the weather, it could take 24 hours, 17
right.
hours to get there because you had to cross so many streams. So she didn't know how often she would get to see us.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
Maybe 3-4 times a year, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But we would get busy involved with our friends and activities, and
right.
they would be back on the mission station
yeah.
by themselves. So it was definitely harder on them.
Any of us that have dropped children off to college and then driven home, we understand that. Cry half the way back, you know, and the rest of your kids are in the back seat, just real quiet, because they're like, what in the world's going on up there?
And they know their turn's coming.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of foreign thinking to us today that we would do this, but we honor our parents because that was what happened back then.
Yes.
And actually, the generation before theirs would leave their kids back here in the States for 4 years at a time
mm-hmm.
without seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just unfathomable in our thinking. We just can't process that.
Yeah.
But that was the level of dedication of that generation. And
right.
whether we criticize them or not, the point is they were committed yeah. enough to do that kind of sacrifice.
Well, you remember the film about Eric Little, you know, and yeah. Chariots of Fire and parents, missionaries in China. But they sent him back to Scotland, you know, to go to school. But it's like he said in his biography, that was just what everybody did. And so it was a different culture than what we have today. I know my grandchildren there in Brazil have DVDs, and they're actually watching a classroom as if they were in that classroom right. for every subject, and the source sells them the DVDs, and so they're able to pass it down to the younger children. And it's just really a great way of doing it, whereas, you know, many missionary moms may not be capable of teaching all of those grades and all those subjects. But today, it really makes it much easier. And Skype. Oh, Skype is a godsend for people like me as a granddad.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. I can remember being back in the States and Bible college. It would take 3 to 4 weeks for a letter to get back to Africa
uh-huh.
to my folks. By the time I would receive a reply, you know, it was past 6 weeks.
Right, right. But today with Skype and FaceTime and...
It's instant.
Yeah. And Google Text, you know, I mean, it's just you're able to see pictures immediately from around the world. And it's just a different world. But what a great opportunity, you know, to keep connected with the family. I remember the first year that my son and family were there in Brazil, they shared with us that they got together with other missionaries at Thanksgiving time. So we were there, and we all got together with all these other missionaries. And so one of the missionaries said to us, how often will you guys come down? And I said, oh, maybe every couple of years. And my wife said, I'll be down every year. I said, you know, I think we're coming down every year. But then the missionary family said, we are so glad that you are. And then they, with tears in their eyes, said, our parents have never come. And they said, consequently, our kids barely know their own grandparents. And when we talk about going back to the States, they look at us like, why do I want to do that? There's no family connection. They said, you keep those ties tight between you and your grandchildren. And, well, that was great advice. And so what a blessing that was.
That didn't take a lot of encouraging either, did it?
My arm was just really, really hurting while it was being twisted behind my back. But, well, how quickly our time passes. The next time we get together, we want to talk about the ministry that God has given you and why you changed from being missionaries to recruiting missionaries and training missionaries, and how the Lord worked in your heart to enable you to see God's hand in that area. I trust that you will join us again in a couple of days as Joan and Paul Seeger share their hearts with us. Till that time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.